And it's great to be with you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. I hope that you all are doing well. If you're not doing well, then I hope that today before we leave, we make a change. Because a lot of times people aren't doing well because we're distracted. We're distracted in our worship. We're distracted in our prayer life. We're distracted in our Bible study. We're distracted in the walk that matters. I told our class in Sunday school this morning, just for a brief moment as I was making a point before we had our opening prayer, that something that has struck me recently in the writing of the New Testament is when we're instructed by the good apostle that a good soldier does not concern themselves with civilian life. You know, and that hit me like a ton of bricks. As a soldier of the cross, sometimes we're too easily distracted. Sometimes we get wrapped up in civilian life, if you will. Remember, this world's not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The reality of life is this. We live here, but here can't live in us. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we allow here to live in us too much. So what I want to do for the next few weeks, again, it's my plan, to talk to you about devotion, about being devoted, about elevating our devotion to God, elevating our walk, elevating our prayer life, elevating our spiritual walk as we go through this life, as we journey through this time, this period of our lives, whether it's here for the next few years or here for the next few decades. We know that we have a responsibility to God. And sometimes what we have to do is not point the finger, but look at the heart. It becomes our heart's motivation. Brother Larry, who's on our hearts and minds, of course, a lot, I've heard him say more often than not. I've heard him say that it's not, if someone's not giving the way they should or someone's not attending the way they should, and I'm not talking about pandemic stuff, I'm talking about understandable times when we're able to worship and do. If somebody's not studying their Bible, it's a heart problem. I've heard Larry say that. You've probably heard him say that. And I agree with him. It's not a somebody else's problem. It boils down to, it's my own heart's problem. And sometimes my heart, your heart, as devoted as we want to be, we can get distracted. So you're already distracted, right? That cute little angel is now 10 years old, and she is my daughter. But you got to take your mind off of that. It's just a little test I'm giving you. You can't just get focused on that cuteness right there, okay? Distractions are a part of life. I know for me, reading is a challenge. As an adult, I have been diagnosed with adult onset ADD, but I think now they've added the H in there, the ADHD, right? And with that, I know reading for me is a distraction. When I am sitting down, and it doesn't matter how good the book is. It doesn't matter if it is the good book or it is a book I'm interested in that has something to do with secular society. I get distracted. You probably do that as well. Sometimes we may get frustrated. Sometimes we may get aggravated because you go to pray. And this, if your prayer life is like mine, you better have some time on your hands. Because I'll be sitting there and I'll be praying and I'll be talking to God and asking God and praising God. And my mind will journey. Maybe I'm praying for someone. And then my mind will journey there. We have those moments, don't we? We have those moments when we read. We have those moments in our walk. just as easy as I was able to take your attention off of what I was saying and put it on the screen, that's how quickly, and mine was all good, I hope, but the devil does it in a bad way. And I want to illustrate that today in the book of Genesis. I invite you to turn with me to the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 1. It's probably not page 1 in your Bibles, but it's thereabouts, right? Genesis 1, verse 1. You don't even have to turn there. You know it, don't you? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth is literally Genesis 1, verse 1. But I want to take you to the focal point of Genesis 1, verse 1. The beginning of it all, in the beginning. Take that prepositional phrase out if you're going to dissect this sentence, right? You're going to take that out, and then you're going to have the main noun, right? The proper noun, God. God should be the focal point of everything we do. He should be the one that we point to for praises. He should be the one we point to for questions. He should be the one we point to for needs. God, in the beginning, in the present, in the future, in all eternity, God. In verses 27 and 28, that same God, right? In the beginning, God, who created the heavens and the earth. So God, again, there's the focal point, created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God, the Godhead itself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, decided to create more than just the heavens and the earth, right? On this day, day six now, He's going to create man. And so, as He is creating man, man is God's greatest creation. He takes special time and care in creating man. He takes dirt. He breathes life. He takes a rib, makes woman. And as He creates mankind, He gives them this command, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. But here's what man had as the number one responsibility. Make sure I'm the focal point, God said. Make sure you're devoted to me. As long as man would be devoted to God and God be man's sole focus, everything was going to be all right. We'll get back there in a moment. But that was 7,000 years ago, right? Here we are all these centuries later. And guess what? Our focal point still should be God. Nothing has changed. Remember, the Hebrew writer said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. God's desire never changes. His desire is for your heart and my heart today to not be distracted, to be devoted. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul wrote there, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, whether you're going to eat or whether you're going to drink or whether you're going to be a salesman or whether you're going to be a construction worker or whether you're going to be retired or whether you're going to be a preacher or whether you're going to be an elder or whether you're going to be a whatever, fill in the blank, bring it and do it to the glory of God. Can you imagine now Genesis 1 and 2, if you will? God has made man. God has made woman. He's married them in Genesis 2. Can you imagine what worship was like before Genesis 3? Now, I don't know how much time it took. It doesn't appear to us that it was very long, right? God creates man, He creates woman, He marries them together, He creates the family, He tells them be fruitful and multiply. What a great life! Their life was going to be spectacular, phenomenal. Of course, the devil slithers his way. We'll get there in a moment. Distracts them from that. But can you imagine, however much time that was, from Genesis 2 to Genesis 3, how great worship was? Can you imagine how awesome it was? When they relied solely on Him, and they were in perfect unity with Him, and God was their focal point, and they were devoted to God, and they worshiped Him, and they talked to Him, and they prayed to Him, and they loved Him. Can you imagine how phenomenal it was? You see, at the end of creation, God said it was very good. You know why it was very good? Because man was solely devoted to God. He was devoted. He was dedicated because God was the divine. But unfortunately, there's Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, go back to what I said a moment ago. Devoted, right? They were devoted to God. They were dedicated to God because He was the divine being in their life, right? Devoted, dedicated, divine. But now here comes the distraction. That's where we are. That's where Genesis 3, everything brings Jesus Christ into motion, right? That's where it all takes God's scheme of redemption that He already had planned out because He knew this was going to happen. But it all comes into motion because of Genesis 3. The devotion went to distraction just like that. Just like that. As you're driving to a place. You ever done this before? You ever had work on your mind? Maybe you're coming home or you're going to school or whatever is going on. You get to where you're going. You know, it may take you 30 minutes to get there. You may go all kinds of different routes or what have you, but you end up in your parking spot wherever you're going and you think, "How did I get here?" You ever had that happen? Because we get so many things on our minds, we get distracted. And I'm not even talking about what's in our pockets and purses with our devices, right? But we get distracted about everything that's going on in the world, everything that's going on, and we forget that we made that turn and we stopped at that red light, or maybe we didn't stop at that red light, or whatever happened, right? And we got to where we were going, and we were distracted drivers. You see, distractions lead us away from where we need to be today in life. There are endless distractions. As I said earlier, a good soldier, I didn't say it, I just used the reference of the Bible. A good soldier does not concern themselves with civilian life. Why? Because a good soldier's got to focus on the mission. A good soldier has got to focus on the task at hand to defend, to fight, to conquer. Here we are, folks. As soldiers of the cross, we sing it, don't we? Soldiers of the Christ, arise and put your armor on. Why do we sing it? Why do we use that reference? Because that's what we're to do. We are to fight. We are to defend. We are to conquer in the name of Jesus Christ. But what happens along the way? Distraction. Wednesday night, I told you about WIN, the acrostic WIN, W-I-N. What's important now? If we are going to be victorious, we must keep our focal point on what's important now. But what happens along the way? Watch this, Genesis 2. This is before Genesis 3 now. Go back to Genesis 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God put man, and He gave man a task. But between Genesis 2 and between Genesis 3, verse 1, however much time that was, man got distracted. Now, I know you're going to sit there and say, well, literally, it was woman. But I'm talking about mankind as a whole. Satan knew exactly what he was doing. He knew how to slither his way to convince Eve, and he knew if he got Eve, he was going to get Adam. Maybe Adam should have been there. Maybe he should have been, I don't know all the ins and outs and what ifs and arguments we could make, but here's what I do know. Man forgot their responsibility in Genesis 2 because they were distracted. It may have been just that quick, but look at what it cost them. Do you realize today that a distraction can cost us that quick as well? Do you realize today that if we're not devoted the way we need to be devoted to God, and He becomes first and foremost in our life, and everything else pales in comparison to it? If God is not number one, then the distractions that are above Him can cost me just like it cost Adam and Eve. There were just a few things that Satan used to get Eve and Adam that distracted. Here they are. Number one, they were distracted by a question. Here was the question in Genesis 3 that Satan, the serpent, referred to and asked Eve. He said this, or he asked this, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What was Eve doing that day? I assume Eve was out gathering fruit. She was gathering vegetation, as we talked about in our class. Up until this time, really until Noah got off the ark, every animal, every being, man, as it appears it's just Adam and Eve, and even when their children come, up until Genesis 9, man just is eating up vegetation. So she's gathering things, I would imagine, for them to eat. Maybe Adam is out tending and doing what he's supposed to do. I don't know where they are. I don't know what's going on. But here's what I know, is somewhere along the way, that tree in the midst of the garden, the knowledge of good and evil tree, Satan slithered his way into Eve's life and got her mind distracted there. And he did it by a question. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You know what he did by asking that question? The first thing he did was challenge the authority of God's Word. You remember when we started out this theme of Elevate this year, back in the month of January, I spent the entire month talking about exalting Christ. That was the very first sermon we preached this year about elevating. We've got to put God where God needs to be. We've got to put Christ where Christ needs to be. And He is the authority. Remember, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Okay, while He was on earth, He was God in the flesh. And so we must put that authority where it needs. And listen, nothing should challenge that. I know there are skeptics, and I know there are agnostics, and I know there are atheists, and I know there are a lot of people out there that are against the Bible and the Word of God, but it must still be the authority, and we can't let distractions question that. But as soon as he asked that question, and Eve entertained that question, it questioned God's authority in her life. You see, when we are distracted, listen to this now. When we are distracted and enter into a conversation with Satan, and you can act like it's the little thing on your shoulder here and a little thing, but it is ultimately Satan. When we enter into a conversation with Satan, get this, we will always lose. Prove that. If I give Satan a millimeter, a 32nd of an inch, if I give him the smallest of smalls, he's got a foot in the door. That's why we are told to resist the devil. And he will what? Flee. He'll run. But what happens? We enter into a conversation with him. Eve should have got out of town. As we used to say, it got out of Dodge, right? She should have got out of town. She should have said, Adam, help, this serpent is here questioning God's authority. But she entertained. She entered into a conversation with him. Every time we answer a question by Satan, we will lose. Because that's his very nature, to get us distracted. Think of the people that left the Lord's church because they entered into a conversation with the devil. Well, what's wrong with gossip? Oh, I'm really just trying to spread some truths in a gossipy kind of way. Well, what's wrong with me looking at another woman with lustful eyes? What's wrong with you looking at another man with lustful eyes? Well, what's wrong with drinking until you're intoxicated? Well, what's wrong with missing worship and missing God's Word? And I could go on and on, right? Isn't that how innocent Satan asked the question? I don't imagine that he was this big, ugly, ferocious being that said in this nasty, satanic voice about, you know, all this, how you picture it in the movies or whatever, and just ask it in a way that scares Eve to death. No, he was very calm. She wasn't frightened. He asked a simple question. And that's all it took. Satan is still going to ask us questions. He's still going to knock on our doors. He's still going to knock on our hearts. We must resist. We must not open the door. You better treat him like you treat that salesman in your neighborhood. You know, go away. I'm not opening the door. Close every curtain. Look at him through the Ring doorbell. Whatever it may be. Right? The way we treat people is the way we better treat Satan. Because if he asks us a question and we answer him, we're going to lose. He's more crafty, he's more cunning than any beast God has ever made. All he needs is a little slither. And he did it with a simple question. But that's not all he did. He distracted Eve by a question. But then he distracted her by an object. This is verse 2, Genesis 3. And the woman said to the serpent, again, she should never have answered him. But she said, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you'll not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was shiny, that's right, see? Amelia's listening. Got me distracted, Amelia, but that was a good thing. Shiny. Again, the Bible doesn't say that, right? Terry says that. It was special. It was forbidden. And you can see it, right? You can see, I mean, I don't know if this, it appears that this, if he's a snake at this time, right? We've said he's a snake, but he's got some legs or something because God's going to punish him to crawl on his belly again. We'll get into all that maybe one day later. But let's just say he's got his little arms or something. I don't know. But he takes it, and it's, if you've seen Lord of the Rings, it's the precious, right? He takes the precious to Eve, and he presents it to her. Like, are you kidding me? I'm touching this thing. It's not killing me. You can see it, right? You can see the wheels turning. Just touch it, Eve. It's shiny. It's beautiful. It's special. You're not supposed to have it. Oh, it's going to taste so good. Again, she should have never answered the question. But now he's presenting the object. So the woman saw that the tree was good. I can picture her, you know, just touching it. My fingers aren't tingly. My hand's not falling off. I'm still alive. So now let me hold it. Yeah. Satan's thinking, this is it. I've got her. She's distracted. She saw that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She had to bring Adam down with her. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Satan did it all by saying, it's just another piece of fruit. You eat fruit every single day. God has said, you can't eat of this, you'll die. He just doesn't want you to be like Him. Eat the fruit. It's just a website, like every other website. It's just a conversation about somebody else, just like every other conversation you've had about somebody else. It's just one worship service. It's just one day on your Bible reading. It's just one time you can go to prayer. It's just one time you can let the whole world know that every other thing is important to you but worship. It's just, we could go on and on. Seems so innocent. As innocent as it seemed, how deadly was it for Adam and Eve? If we do not wake up and devote ourselves fully to God, that shiny thing will carry our hearts and souls away all these years later today. He distracted her with a question. He distracted her with an object. And finally this morning, He distracted her with her pride. I want you to know the fruit wasn't the real problem. God, I have no idea, okay, what kind of fruit it was. I hope it tasted really good, though. I mean, if she's going to blow it all, don't you hope? I mean, maybe you think, no, I hope she choked on it. I don't know. But the point is, it wasn't the fruit, folks. Yes, God told him not to eat of that fruit and eat of that tree, but he could have done it with any tree. It was her heart's distraction. God could have made any fruit, any tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and told him to stay away from it. But at the end of the day, it was her own pride, her own heart's problem and distraction. Verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's now getting to her pride. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now listen, Adam lived to be 930 years old. But he died. Okay? Eve died. Hear me out on this. I hope I'm wrong. But how many generations passed before Enosh is born? It's after Enosh that was given to replace Seth, right? Or given to them after Seth, I should say. Enosh is when man finally started calling on the name of the Lord. All those generations in between, did it take that long? I have no idea if that's literally the case, that Adam and Eve quit calling on Him and all of them quit calling on Him. But here's what I know. If that be the case, how costly was the death that fruit caused. James says it this way. We are drawn away, we're lured away by our own lusts or our own desires. Just like you're going to fish for that fish. And you know what lure to throw based on conditions, based on water, based on depth, based on all the above, seasons and all that. Just like you know how to catch that fish and lure that fish, Satan has your number and he has mine as well. There's a lot of pleasure in sin. There is. There's a lot of pride in sin. But there is also a lot of pain in sin. As we get ready to close, I want to take you to what happens after all this. God asked a question. He said, Adam, where are you? Now, I want you to hear me on this. You never want to play hide and seek with God. He's all present. He's all knowing. Okay? He knows where Adam is. Adam may think he's hiding in a tree somewhere, behind a bush somewhere, and he may think, okay, I got God fooled. He really does. I'm just going to be quiet. He doesn't know where I'm at. Oh, no, he knew where Adam was. He knew exactly where he was. He knew the number of hairs on his head. He knows the number of hairs on his head. He knows where we are. He knows you are sitting in your living rooms, if you're virtual, or you're sitting in these pews right now, and you are at Azalea City Church of Christ. He knows that, but the real question is, where are you spiritually? Where are you? Adam, where are you? You were devoted to me. But now you're distracted. And ultimately you're going to be dead. Church, where are you? Are you devoted to God? Are you dedicated to the Divine One? Or are you easily distracted? It's what Michael read to us today. It's what I read to us Wednesday night. Paul, from a prison cell, was so devoted that he challenged the church at Philippi to understand this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, devote, focus on these things. If we devote ourselves to the good things, And we're dedicated soldiers, not bogged down in civilian life. If we don't have conversations with the devil, then we're exactly where we need to be. But if you're here today, and you've been distracted for quite a while, today's the day to get devoted. Today's the day to surrender all. Today's the day to become a child of the King. Or maybe you are here today, and you're in paradise, you've been in paradise, but all of a sudden, you've been in conversations with the devil, and it's flipped your world upside down because we've been distracted, we've been distraught. Today it's time. It's time to get rid of the distractions. It's time to turn back to the divine one. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.